I know you can feel their discomfort, Aaron. Watching you walk through a room full of white people was the most painful thing I've ever seen.
Excuse me. Sorry.
I want to take you to a job interview.
There's a recruiting class starting right now, and we got to get you in it.
Welcome to the American Society of Magical Negroes.
Welcome back, folks, to a brand new review episode of Words
from
Blurreds. And today, with my co-host Adu, what are we reviewing?
We're
go ahead.
We're reviewing the film, the 2024 film.
Cinema.
Cinematic the
experience.
American Society of Magical
Negroes. Yes. Wow. The American Society of Magical Negroes. This is a movie. Yep. That's this movie's directed by Kobe Libby.
Yes, his directorial debut, by the way.
So sorry.
Well, you know,
I mean, he also wrote it, so
yeah,
not too
he
sorry.
He wrote it as well.
Oh, he's a white man.
No, he's not. He's mixed.
Biracial.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I saw him on the Daily
Kenya
Show.
Barris.
You just say another Kenya Barris.
Not another Kenya Barris.
Well, you know, I just want to say before we start talking about this movie, I do want to acknowledge that it is very difficult to create a movie.
So difficult.
It's the process of filmmaking is it's long and arduous. It involves a lot of hard work.
It's easy for guys like us who watch it for $12 to tear it apart and review it and analyze it when it takes 4 or 5, sometimes 6 months, probably. This movie was not made in 6 months, but it takes, you know, around that time to make a film. And hundreds, maybe up to thousands of people are on set.
So many people.
Putting this shit together.
Yeah, I mean, crew, craft services, you know, the camera guys, you know, et cetera. So I do want to acknowledge that. That being said, this movie was not... It wasn't very good. It wasn't very
plain
good.
And simple. It was not a very good movie. Good God, David Alan Greer, the man has—he was one of my favorite parts of *In Living Color*. And I mean, he had a couple of shows that he did that did not really take off. And he was—what was he in *The Wiz*? He was. The TV musical.
The new one. I was about to say, he was in The Wiz? You're talking about the old one?
He was the Cowardly Lion.
Yeah, I believe he was.
So, to go here.
To his credit, I mean, if there was anything good about this movie, it was him. He went, you know, he did what he was asked to do.
I don't know, man. This movie just really... It was a bore. Like, literally, like, the plot of this movie can be summarized very simply. There are magical black people whose sole purpose is to make sure white people are comfortable so that white people who are comfortable don't attack black people who may make them feel uncomfortable. This is the story of the newest member of that society.
Yeah.
A young 27-year-old man.
Aaron, played by Justice Smith, who I feel like he's starting to kind of get typecast in these kind of roles where he plays like a meek
typecast?
Black, a kind of meek, dorky black guy.
Did you not see Generation?
I did not. You're talking about the HBO Max show?
Yes.
I didn't see it.
You did not see Generation?
Oh, he's in that?
Did you see Dungeons and Dragons? I guess that kind of plays into that.
Oh, so see, yeah, and I hadn't even seen Dungeons and Dragons, but he plays the same type of character in that too.
Dungeons and Dragons, yes.
Okay,
he plays
yeah,
a very
and...
meek, scared wizard, actually.
Okay, and he's that character in Detective Pikachu. He's that character.
I didn't even see Detective Pikachu.
He's that character in that video game. I think it was The Cabin, something like that. The log the cabin, some shit like that. So you know,
Had two episodes in the Thundermans.
He keeps. I don't know, man. I don't know what to tell you. But for those who don't know, the purpose of this movie, at least I believe what the purpose was
There's
supposed
a purpose
to be.
Of this movie?
I believe what it was supposed to be was to take a look at the trope of the magical Negro. Now, some people may not know what the magical Negro trope is, for those that don't know. It's basically a black character in a mostly white movie who, you know, they don't really have a life of their own. They don't have any family members.
They fix the problems.
Yeah, they don't have any family members. They don't have any, like, real friends outside of the main white characters, and their sole purpose in the movie is basically to solve all their problems.
Think Morgan Freeman in Driving Miss Daisy.
Yep.
Think Michael Clark Duncan in The Green Mile.
Yep.
Literally both tropes from those movies are actually played for there's a parody of those tropes from those movies in this movie.
Yeah. So when I first heard about this movie and what it might be, and, you know, the title, I'm like, oh, okay, that could be interesting. You know, we haven't seen anyone really like talk about that trope in a significant way.
But
you know,
to be honest, there were so many people who were talking about this movie saying, oh my God, this might be the Black Harry Potter. This might be our Black Hogwarts or whatever.
Yeah.
And to those people, I say, do you think that if a movie surrounding black people with magic came out that slavery would have happened in that movie? Like, I'm pretty sure if black people had magic instead of white people who primarily have magic in all books and everything like that, we would be living in a totally different... We would be living in a magical version of Wakanda.
Well, hold on, because... Actually, bringing that up, actually, you know, if you want to do that, then how come slavery existed in Harry Potter? I mean, hell, in one of the Fantastic Beasts movies, they literally, like, it's like World War II, and they're trying to, like, go up, like,
well,
go up
are,
and help
those
the
are,
Nazis
because
and Because
those are Muggle problems.
But they were involved. Like, in one of the Fantastic Beasts movies. It's kind of weird, because their plot... The bad guy wants to, if I remember correctly, I might be remembering wrong, wants to, like, stop Hitler. It was a weirdly written movie. I know what I just said. The bad guy wanted to stop Hitler. That movie was very,
is
there's
that,
a lot of things. Yes.
Is that what Johnny Depp's character wanted to do?
Yeah, yeah. In the sequel, yeah.
Was it the second one?
Yeah, the second one. There was more to it, but to summarize it, that's pretty much what he wanted to do. It's not a very good movie. And on top of that, Wakanda, it's like, well, how come no one from Wakanda did anything about it? So, you know, if you're going to go into that,
that just brings up a whole bunch of questions. Holes and so many things that could have happened if black people were in positions of power or had power that still happened.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, they could have done it while just kind of maybe just ignoring that part. But I guess I understand why people who didn't know what that trope is, because I thought it was pretty well known. I guess it's not. But I can understand why people who didn't know what that trope is would think that, oh, this is going to be like a Black Harry Potter. It isn't. It wasn't.
It is not.
Nope.
Far
it's
from
not that
it.
At all. Like you said, it's about the society that helps white people feel more comfortable, and Aaron gets brought on because David Alan Greer sees this dude out and about. You know, he's real meek. He's like, I'm trying not to. He's kind of a bitch. He's a little bit. Aaron,
he's a little bit of a punk.
He is. You know,
a little bit of a punk.
I was trying to clean it up, but yeah, no, he's this nigga, man. He gets hoed so much in this movie. He's, oh, I'm sorry. The smallest thing scared. Oh, you know, he doesn't want to upset anyone. And, you know, his art fucking sucks. He's an artist. And, like, this
who can't
just,
speak up for his own art.
Now, okay. I'm of the mind that art can be anything.
It can be interpreted in any way.
But all this nigga does is just hang some yarn up. That's
in,
it.
In weird angles and lengths.
You know, his art fucking sucks. He sucks. He doesn't have any friends at all, seemingly. He doesn't seem to have any family except for a white mom gets mentioned. But outside of that, doesn't really seem to have any family to talk to. He's like a blank slate of a character.
Yeah, and he's a very depressing one at that. He represents what I think... Whoa. He represents what I think white people interpret light-skinned people to act like.
You coming for your fellow light-skinned brethren, bro?
I am light-skinned, okay, and I don't shy away from this fact, but I think it is interpreted that light-skinned men, people, mostly men, are meek. Meek, weak, and afraid of a lot. Like, we are the softest of the nigga breed.
And some even apologize for putting out diss tracks, you know?
I know the fuck you didn't just bring up your man.
I didn't say anything. I didn't say any names or anything. I'm just saying some have been known to even apologize for putting out diss tracks, which is something I've never heard of.
Wow. Yes. I guess that you can interpret that as weak or soft. A man knowing his morals
and principles.
Then
don't put it out. Then don't make the song. No. Don't
listen.
Then don't.
If you're a real man, if you're a real man, you can look at your mistake and call it out.
Oh, bro. Then don't make the song.
Listen.
All right?
Listen. That's like telling somebody if you know you're gonna make a mistake, don't make one. You don't know until you've made it. What?
Get out of here with it.
If you're gonna fail a test. Just don't go to class.
Do you know how many steps it takes to make and put? He put a whole album, mastering, producing the music.
I mean,
going
again,
to the recording studio.
Yeah, and that was just one
ready,
song.
Putting it out.
He had to slide
like,
that
on,
in.
Bro.
Listen, imagine how long it took him to curate that album and say, you know, wait. I'm a little pissed right now, so let me go ahead and slide this diss track in real quick. That was probably the quickest thing he did.
The name of the album was Might Delete Later. That told me everything. I was like, oh, okay.
But, you know, there are so many album titles that don't make sense. Like, To Pimp a Butterfly.
See, you need to open your third eye. That's
man,
what's your
fuck
problem.
All that shit. I don't need
Ken
to take mushrooms.
What
I don't need
title
to take mushrooms.
Means,
I don't need to take mushrooms to understand titles, okay?
The butterfly is like a beautiful. Well,
yeah,
you know what?
It's a, go ahead.
We've gone so far off topic. This is about the American Society of Magical Negroes, okay? That's what we need to be talking about.
So, Aaron's first assignment when he is finally inducted into this society is to help this guy. What is his name?
It don't matter.
What the is it Paul. Brad? Brad?
Sure. Greg.
I think that's his name.
Mark.
No,
David.
I think it's this guy, Brad.
Matthew, Mike, Luke, and John.
You're just
Ed, Nettie. I don't know.
You're just racist. No, his name is Ryan.
Yeah, sure, let's go with that.
Yeah, I think is this
funny enough, you know, Justice Smith's name was Ryan in the cabin, the video game. Doesn't matter.
Anyway, he helps. Let's call him Ryan. He helps Ryan basically be comfortable. I don't know. So it makes it seem like it's not comfortable with black people. It's just being comfortable in their experience in life.
Well.
Because what was he going through exactly? He was only going through a hard time at work.
Ryan was, well, keep in mind, Ryan is a cop, which I feel is probably important to note for the context.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he was a cop.
I was talking about his first official assignment.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the actual
important
character.
Yeah, I wasn't going through step by step.
My mistake, yeah.
Yeah.
I think his problem was he was like, he was having issues at work. Like
he was having confidence issues. So,
yeah.
And basically, Aaron kind of drums up a fake faux friendship with this guy to kind of help him along in his career tasks. And in the process, meets a girl who works at this same company. Wow, whoopty fucking do. What a coincidence. And he ends up falling for this girl. And then, because he has to put the client, who is the white man going through distress, first, the white man then likes the girl that Aaron is into, and so Aaron must remove himself emotionally from trying to be attracted, from actually being attracted to this girl.
And, you know, again, of course, Aaron is kind of a bitch, so, you know, he doesn't bother to be like, well, hey, no, man, I like her. You should go for someone else, maybe.
Yeah,
you know,
but
stand up for yourself.
But in the bylaws of the society, you cannot put the client beneath yourself.
He could have stopped that, though. Early on, like
he could have,
and the crazy thing is about the whole him being a wimp. It's not even like there was a character arc where he starts out a wimp and then eventually he grows to become more confident. He starts the movie a wimp and ends the movie a wimp. He's just a wimp the whole fucking movie.
Does he end it? I don't think
he does. He does. Was there any point during the movie?
I watched it today.
Okay, you know what? There was one point.
At the end, he grabs his nuts, unlike what the society actually does when they grab each other's nuts. He grabs his nuts, takes the girl to New York City to kiss her on the Empire State Building.
Yeah, Empire State, yeah.
And in a flash, he's transported back to the headquarters for the... What is the acronym for this fucking thing?
American Society, ASMN.
Yeah, ASMN. He's transported back to their headquarters, and, you know, of course they're like, dude, you fucked up. You did the thing you're not supposed to do, which is put yourself above another human being, a.k.a. another white person.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to take your powers.
By the way, speaking of powers, do you mind describing for the people what these magical powers entail?
Literally, I guess being able to imagine a meter in which you can tell what their uncomfortable level is,
mm-hmm.
and then also being able to blink and transport.
Mm-hmm.
That was the extent of magic I saw.
Pretty much. That's all the magic we get in this
like,
movie.
There's no, like, Doctor Strange bending dimensions.
Nope.
There's no Harry Potter. Havana Kadava. Nope. They don't even like. Do they even have? I don't even think they had actual wands.
Nigga, I don't even think they flew.
They mentioned wands, but I never
did
saw.
Did they mention wands?
The word wands was mentioned a couple times.
Okay,
but they'd never actually had it. So, but one lady floated. That's cool for one scene. That was her power, was to float.
Yeah, and the whole thing is Aaron has to not like mess up this assignment because apparently, and I don't know why this system works this way, if one person messes up, then everyone in the society loses their powers.
Yeah.
That's weird.
But they lose it enough to be transported immediately back to headquarters until their powers start back over again.
So, wait. So then there's no real stakes?
No.
I forgot about that part. So, you know what this movie is? This movie is like two movies stitched together, and both of them are bad.
This is a terrible Frankenstein monster.
Like the first half of the movie is establishing, you know, the society and, you know, the magical part, right? And, you know, showing how stuff works. There's a really long part in the movie where they have, like, this person who's, like, kind of like a teacher who's teaching them, oh, this is, you know, how this works. This is how we are subservient to... I hate this movie so much, dog. This is how we're subservient to our white clients and how we're actually saving black people by doing this. And then the other half
Fuck
of the movie
that.
Is a lame rom-com.
Yeah, like, and even the relate, the not a relationship, just the romantic interest.
They have no chemistry.
There was no chemistry there.
None.
It was like just people talking and pretending.
I don't even understand why she likes this dude.
Yeah, he's
there's nothing about him that he's not.
He ain't
confident.
Got no swag.
None. He don't dress well. None.
He's skinny as fuck.
Eh.
Hey, there's a market for that, I guess. Look at Wiz Khalifa.
Wiz Khalifa has swag though. I mean,
I'm saying there's a market for skinny niggas.
Oh yeah.
But he's like the skinny, sick looking nigga. You know?
God. All right. Well, we don't have to come for Justice Smith's appearance.
I'm sorry.
That's just mean, bro.
I'm sorry.
Come on now.
Justice Smith. I mean, hey, he's just naturally skinny dude.
Yeah, bro. You ain't have to call that man sickly.
I mean, do you disagree?
I mean, moving on. Moving on. So, yeah, and one of the things that really bothered me about this movie is, like, I don't know if it maybe didn't mean to do this, but it felt like there was a long period in the movie where there's like saying, oh, it's really important for black people to be, you know, docile and, you know, make white people feel comfortable, and we're actually saving black people. There's this really long part where David Alan Greer, it's actually, as a performance, if you take all the context out, it's actually a really good performance from David Alan Greer, where he's talking to Aaron and he's telling him the story about something that happened to his dad, who was a shoeshine guy. Who was a shoeshine guy.
What if his dad's spirit was the shoeshine hand that was in the bathroom?
Oh, my God. I forgot about that thing.
The shoeshine of cousin it. The shoeshine cousin of it.
I don't like this movie, bro. Anyway, yeah, so he's telling the story about this one day he saw his dad shining this white dude's shoes, And the white guy, like, for no reason, pretty much just straight up spits in his face. And then his dad just kind of smiles and just goes with it.
Yeah, he spits and he's in like, his face.
And then he gets upset and he goes to his grandma. And the grandma was like, well, any day that your dad comes back home alive is a day one. And I'm like,
it's a day he doesn't have to regret.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I mean, back in those days when David Alan Greer was a child was supposed to be his age at 5 or 6.
Yeah.
That was like the 50s or 60s. So,
I mean, yeah, but yeah. What the fuck? He spit in his face. It bugged me.
Understandably bug somebody.
Yeah. If they did that, but then later on they were like, you know what? Fuck that. Black people shouldn't be docile. Black people should be free to be who they are without worrying about what white people think or whatever, however they might react to whatever black people do. But I don't know if you saw a moment in the movie where they, you know, turned around and did that, but I didn't see any. Did you?
No, I did not.
Yeah, so it's almost like it's saying, like,
black people should just be docile comfortable
and just, you know, and accept the spit on your face. It's like, what am I watching here, man?
And then he grows up to say, I never regretted that, the smiles that I gave in all the years. Everything I've lost, the dignity I lost bit by bit, I never regretted the smiles that came, even as I chipped away at my decency.
And there is nothing in that scene to, like, signify that he's wrong for feeling that way. The music doesn't signify it. The directing doesn't signify it. The tone of, like, the way he's saying the words doesn't signify it. It's almost, again, maybe the movie is actually trying to disagree with that, but if it was, they didn't do a good job of showing it.
Everyone who starred in this movie came here for a check. Nobody came here to give an actual performance or deliver something of real substance.
Well, Justice Smith stood up for the movie a little bit. Yeah.
Poor guy.
I'm gonna search. I believe he said it was something along the lines of, well, maybe people just didn't understand it or something like that. I don't want to misquote him.
Hey, and again, I understand that art is subjective, but Jesus Christ, this art was not it. This art was not it. Like, it doesn't really say much. And in the current political climate for black people and the way things have been going, especially since the pandemic, this movie has really no good message that I can think of.
Yeah, none. Not really. I'm racking my brain, and it's like, it's not, you know what? The worst thing about this movie, I could almost forgive all that. Everything about it, almost, if it was at least funny. It's supposed to be a comedy. I didn't laugh at this movie once.
Actually,
oh no, there was one joke that was kind of funny. Aaron said, or someone said, there was a line. Someone was like, "You can't be a, what was it? Something about empathy and being a billionaire. You can't have.
You can't own an island and empathize with regular people."
Yeah. Okay. That line, I chuckled. Outside of that, no laughs. Yeah. For the rest of the movie.
I did think it was funny how the billionaire tried to use that racial moment and say, this is what my social media platform is about. Is these dialogues.
An Australian accent?
This is actually New Zealand.
Either way, no. Yeah.
What?
Every New Zealander just turned off the episode. They said, fuck this.
I actually got a grade on my accent in my voice and diction class.
Was that person from New Zealand?
This person did the research. There was a professor at this college.
So they weren't from New Zealand?
They were not, but they knew the New Zealand accent.
Okay, all right. I'll wait for New Zealanders to weigh in on that, or Kiwis.
Yeah, you fuck yourself, mate. This is a beautiful Kiwi accent.
If you say
anyway,
so.
Can we fucking end this review? what did you fucking rate this movie, man?
I'm struggling.
I
want more black art, more black film.
This is not black film. It's made by a biracial man.
Oh, come on!
Starring
some
black people.
Biracial people are just as black as the rest of us.
Yeah, but they also are equally white. They're equally white as equally black.
This is very funny. The light skinned person on the show is saying this.
This is not a black movie, dude.
But I'm sorry, man.
Do you want more Kenya Barris movies? I thought not. So this is the same for me.
Yeah, 0 out of 5.
Thank you. My same fucking score is 0 out of 5. This movie was boring. The dialogue was dull. Yeah. There's no chemistry amongst the leads.
None.
The story is just shit for the most part. The message, the themes, all of it garbage. Again, we do recognize that making a film takes time. It takes effort. And somebody greenlit this. And a biracial man wrote and directed this.
You're going to keep bringing up the biracial.
You know, I tend to think that it is the white part of him that got this greenlit. I really do. Because if a black man wrote this, a fully black man, he's definitely a Trump Republican.
It felt very MAGA. And I don't even think it was trying to be, but it did feel very MAGA.
It felt very black MAGA.
It's ironic because, like, a bunch of conservatives were, like, super pissed when the trailer dropped. Because of the most dangerous animal alive is white people when they get upset. They were mad about that line. But, like, I feel like y'all might actually like this movie, honestly. Conservatives would probably love this movie.
Okay. All right. Have you seen the American Society of Magical Negroes? No, probably not, because it got yanked out of theaters 2 weeks being out. Cool. Don't go see it. We have reviewed this movie. This is Words from Blurreds. Make sure you follow us on all of our socials. Words from Blurreds on everything, streams from Blurreds on Twitch. Follow our YouTube where Do posts the Blurred Blurbs. Mm-hmm. Follow us on TikTok, IG, Twitter. Well, sorry, Twitter, from now known as X, and on any major podcasting platforms. Again, we reviewed this so you don't have to see this. You're welcome.
We're out. Peace. Savage today. Jesus.